Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's got Star Trek, episode 33. The original series, season 3, episode 11, Wink of an Eye.
Our country was almost destroyed by volcanic eruptions. The water was polluted. Radiation was released. That changed us. It accelerated us. The children died. Most of the women found they could not have any more. All of our men had become sterile. So we had to mate outside our own people. Whenever a spaceship came by, we sent out calls for help. But accelerating them to our level burned them out. Don't you see, Captain? Do I have to go into every detail? We are going to take you down with us. Perhaps one or two others of your crew. We have to. Or we'll be kind to you. I wouldn't hurt you, certainly. I do like you.
What about the rest of my crew?
They will remain here in suspended animation. It will do them no harm. We are saving them for when we need them in the future. You will not last forever. You know that, Captain. Captain, we have the right to survive.
Not by killing others.
Well, you would do exactly the same thing. You came charging down into that life support room the minute you knew there was trouble. You would have killed every one of my people if you could have.
You invaded my ship. You threatened my crew.
There is no difference.
There is a difference. Your trouble is in you.
Was the recorder introduced into the curriculum in order to put people off of music?
I think so.
Yeah, because they
an instrument from the 60s.
Don't do music. Like, get into business.
The people, they're looking right. That's what people that are in business own those recorders, like my wife.
Yeah,
they're trying to get rid of like the arts department, and you know they need to lower interest in it before they can actually get rid of it. So they're like, you don't want to get involved in this shit.
You don't want to be dealing with none of that.
Trumpet's much better than recorder.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, I grab my harmonica and I'm going to grab my trumpet.
Harmonica is better than recorder.
Yeah.
Harmonica's not so great.
Yeah.
No, but harmonica is fun to play. It's, you can make it sound
cool.
Exactly, I can make it.
Right.
It's better sounding to ears. I can make it. I'm better at
it's
it.
It's a lot
than
more
a
contemporary than a recorder.
Yeah.
Recorder is from like the 1500s.
Yeah, it's pretty awful medieval music.
Yeah.
All right, so we should start talking about Star
it's
Trek.
It's got Star Trek.
It's got Star Trek. This week, it's Dan, Jesse, and I are joined by Jimmy.
Hello.
Who has watched this
have
episode.
Have you been on any episodes before?
Yeah.
You've been on one.
He's been on
this
episode. He's a returning guest.
Which one were we talking about?
Picard.
Ah, yes. Nepenthe.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah,
Harvey Picard.
Okay, so first a couple of administrative items. A couple of administrative items to go over from last week. We had one comment. We had a number of comments, but this one comment I wanted to mention. Last week we talked about Star Trek Enterprise's first season episode, Desert Crossing, and it's a you know, involves some interesting moral dilemmas and all that for Archer and crew. And this comment, this fella Timothy said, the man says that he's easily offended. He then lies to Archer and Tucker and sucks them into the middle of civil war. Easily offended? Orbital bombardment of their camp was in order for that one. I just wanted to know if either Dan or Jesse had a comment on.
I think I said that jokingly, but
so basically
he's suggesting that the
Clancy Brown's people.
Yeah, the Enterprise should bomb Clancy Brown's people. Because,
oh, I think I suggested they should bomb the people in the city.
No, and he's saying the opposite.
He's saying that they should join up with the people from the city to bomb oppressed people.
And okay, it's a debatable point because we know those people were doing some terrorism.
I mean, it was a fucked up move,
well,
but they were
terrorism is a relative term.
Exactly. And what I found interesting about this comment I bring it up partly because most of the comments were just like, yeah, it was really cool, blah blah blah. I brought this one up precisely because it seemed that the point of the show, regardless of your own personal opinions, it seemed that certainly the perspective of the producers and stuff was to get you to sympathize with these people.
Yeah.
And it clearly was not effective
yeah.
for this particular fan, and I suspect some others out there as well. It's a reasonable viewpoint.
Yeah.
Well, reasonable,
well, I don't know if it's
reasonable may not be the right adjective.
I mean, you know,
valid, I might
it's
say.
It is a
viewpoint.
It's a valid perspective.
I'm not saying that this person didn't do this, but maybe tried just try to walk a mile in someone who you don't understand shoes. Walk a mile in their shoes.
What was the name of? Do you remember the name of that? What was the that special garment they had to wear under the apartheid?
It was like the bok cha or something. I can't remember.
Bok choy.
Oh man, barat. It was like the yurat. It was the yurat.
Yurat.
Y-R-A-T.
Walk a mile in another man's yurat.
So I mean, just like try to look at something. Look at somebody who your immediate knee jerk reaction is to fucking despise them. And maybe they are a total piece of shit. Who knows? But just try to look at it. You know, this sounds, you know, it sounds kind of cliche, but you know, hop your body all up into their body, pull it out, put it back in, pull it out, exactly. Put it back in faster and faster and faster.
But some people will say that, you know, some people will say, well, no, I don't. Why should I have to put myself in somebody else's shoes? Yeah. That's a viewpoint that some people have.
At the very least,
it's narrow.
But yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, I wish somebody would look at things from my perspective. So if I expect that to happen,
right, exactly.
Golden rules. Exactly. Yeah. And at the very least, maybe concede that it could be a both sides are wrong situation, which is very often the case.
It might be a little bit off.
At least in some proportions. Anyway, I just thought that'd be interesting to bring up.
But, you know, I see it was it was out of desperation. So it's the only way I can sort of forgive what's his name, Zabral. But it was
Zabral was no angel.
It was a fucked up move for sure. I will say that.
Okay,
but it was desperate. So,
so one other thing we mentioned that TNG didn't have any Andorians, right? Because we were talking a little bit about Andorians. Yeah. And actually, I discovered because I was thinking about it. And I was like, I know TNG didn't really have any significant Andorian action, but. I went and I looked it up, and there were two instances where you see an Andorian. One is in The Offspring, which is the episode in TNG when Data has a daughter, which creates a child, and he's going through holograms of different appearances. And briefly, one of the holograms is an Andorian.
Oh, that's more like an Easter egg than an actual appearance. Oh,
yeah. And then in Captain's Holiday, when Picard... you know, goes to Ryza and gets interrupted by a woman who's desperate to fiddle around with his English bits.
Wait,
Ulysses on a beach chair.
Ulysses?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to read
Ulysses. Everybody's like, oh, a little light reading for vacation.
Was it the one when he put like the sex statue?
The whore god. Yeah, he put the whore god out.
The whore god. I thought you said whore god.
No, it's not the whore god. It's the whore god. Well, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
That's why I thought you said whore god. I was like, that's a weird thing to say.
But in that, get this. If you thought the other one was an Easter egg, this is even more Easter eggy. Picard is sitting, lounging, trying to read Ulysses, somebody's talking to him. I forget if it's Vash at that point or if it's somebody offering him a drink. But over the shoulder, like you could just sort of in the corner see there's an Andorian sitting at a cafe table drinking some lemonades or whatever.
Where's Waldo thing.
And what makes Andorian. It even more complicated is the TNG design for the Andorian. They're clearly Andorians, but they're weird. They made their heads kind of like taller and longer, and their antennae are all just sticking up straight up, like not moving. I mean, obviously the lack of technology or whatever, but it's weird. But anyway, so there are those two.
So impressed with the Andorians and Enterprise, how they kept their antennas moving around.
Yeah.
They did that well in The Tick too. Yes. Both of them.
The same technology. They probably use the exact same armatures.
Yeah.
They sold them.
I wonder if they were remote control or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I presume so. Yeah. I think it's a safe assumption.
It didn't actually occur to me until now. I was like, do they have some strings on there or something? It's like, that'd be really
funny if Jeffrey Combs had to like puppeteer his own antenna with some weird contraption. He's like, oh, you never see his hands.
It's like I can wiggle one ear and move that.
The other news is that the t-shirts have come in, and so
get some t-shirts.
Yeah. Get some t-shirts.
No,
we'll get some
man.
T-shirts.
It's a Z shirt.
We'll figure
a t-shirt.
Is it an A shirt?
No, it's a t-shirt.
Is it a B shirt?
No, it's t-shirts, Dan.
Is it a C shirt?
Okay, good.
C-shirts, then.
Kind of curious how long this is going to go on.
Is it a G-shirt?
Is it a G-shirt?
What kind of shirt is it, man? That's a Kevin Hart. That's Kevin Hart, right?
Yeah. And Tim Robinson.
Our
kind
shirt.
Of the it was, the Z.
It's yeah, our shirt.
It was a Kevin Hart sketch on SNL called Z-shirts.
Z-shirt.
With Kevin Hart. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, well,
Dan likes that one.
The main it's so dumb and I like it.
You can get a shirt with Dan on it or you can get a shirt with me on it.
Yeah, there's a Dan and Jesse shirts are available.
Both are extremely sexy.
Patrick shirts coming up eventually.
Hell yeah.
We'll figure out a way to sell those online.
Dan one is pretty funny.
But
yes, Dan is good.
The main bit of news is the folks who won the free t-shirt giveaway. We have the shirts, so we're now going to put them in the mail. So they'll be on the way to your houses.
What?
So you will be receiving your shirts soon. Anybody else interested in the shirts? I don't know. Tough luck. guess you could email us. We've got a bunch of other ones, but just we haven't decided to sell them yet.
There's various ways to contact us.
Get your t-shirts.
This is why you don't procrastinate.
Got to get your t-shirts.
Nah, we're building up the mystique.
There's coffee cups, tea mugs. Gotta get the t-shirts.
All right.
Get some mugs.
If nobody procrastinated, everyone would have gotten a Z-shirt.
Z-nuts.
All right. Tonight's discussion.
A-shirt.
The original series, back where it all started, except in the third season of where it started. Season 3, episode 11, Wink of an Eye. And we freely admit that the reason we're doing this episode now is because one of our commenters on Facebook wrote in and noted that this was a similar episode title, if not concept, to Blink of an Eye,
yeah,
which we did a few weeks ago.
And now I wonder, nice. I always thought that the
Blink of an Eye is a little better.
I always thought the phrase was in a blink of an eye. I never said in a wink of an eye or in the wink of an eye. Is that something they said back in the 60s?
It's more
or did
60s.
I,
it's more
or
60s.
Is one of them more right than the other?
No, I think it was just a different.
It's
there was
just a colloquial.
The show
thing,
is very, you know, 60s.
And there was a different type of drugs at the time.
Yeah.
They had more Quaaludes and shit. Quaaludes, like, we don't even know what the fuck a Quaalude is.
Everyone's off
LSD.
They don't even make
they
that.
They were
stuff.
All in amyls and nitrates.
Amyl nitrate, LSD, you know, poppers.
Yeah,
uppers, downers,
yeah,
you know, the whole Elvis, the Elvis kit.
Their weed was
pills,
all weak
green
and
pills,
seedy.
Red pills, sure. Purple pills.
We've got much better weed than they.
Yeah.
Oh fuck yeah! They all had stems and seeds.
Yeah,
and
it was seeds out the
butthole.
Out the yin yang.
Yeah. All right. This is a silly episode, but it's fun episode.
It,
you know,
it is really.
It
silly.
Is a, it
when
is
I
silly,
looked it up,
but
I,
it's entertaining.
This though. Is a highly criticized episode.
Yes.
That's one reason why I thought it'd be fun to do, and I think it will be fun to have this discussion. But I found myself more entertained by it than I thought, given that it's
me too.
Third season, which yep. third season has some weird, bizarre clunkers in there, and there's weird stuff in here. It's not yes. by any means
they
a perfect
they
episode.
They didn't put
no.
a ton of effort into making sure the timelines kind of.
I was
up.
Gonna. Yeah, say, no, I was gonna no. ask. That I was like I yeah. for I tried to figure out if yeah. they like lined up in the in and I don't think they did
no,
anyway
there's a lot of plot hole
so
stuff
I the brief setup you all at home have clearly you've definitely watched this for homework ahead of time but just to remind you the Enterprise shows up they're on their way to a far-flung quadrant you know they still haven't worked out their
it opens with Scotty doing
Scotty's in the yeah. chair
Scotty's
which is
yeah,
pretty cool
yeah
pretty
you think good. Something crazy is gonna
happen because he's like Stardate. You know.
And
yeah, it's a Stardate 5710.5.
Yeah, it's Scotty.
They get a distress call from a planet. So Skeletians. Being dutiful Starfleet officers, they head over to that planet.
Skeletians.
And the Captain McCoy and Spock and a
unfortunate
red shirt.
Well, that dude has like,
Compton.
No, it's not Compton. You yeah. don't see it first, but it's some
Compton.
Guy like his
oh,
nostrils.
Yeah.
It's all about the nostrils on that red dude.
Oh, a lot of these red dudes, other than Compton, like, they all look like low-level mafia thugs.
Yeah, yeah they did.
They were just pulled off of another
like
TV show.
There was one guy who had his pants hiked way high.
Yeah,
and he was
like, yeah.
yeah.
But the first guy is just like, it's nostril shot. It's like right up his nose.
It's weird.
That's what it was.
It's a weird kind of, yeah.
But so what happens is the Enterprise flies in, and they're trying to respond to this distress call. They don't find the people there and then
there's
one of their
buzzer.
Guys drinks some water and disappears and that's the teaser basically
yeah
right,
and you only
Compton.
You only notice if
I didn't
you have
catch
to pay
it
the
first time
I didn't
yeah.
catch it the second time you watch it
you're like
catch.
Wait a minute what's he doing he like he washes his hands
and he's
in,
all like,
and
he's,
his fingers
he's like
yeah.
licking his fingers in sort of a slightly
and
bizarre
then that
way
fool is gone
yeah
Yeah, I totally did. There was actually a lot. I will give them credit.
Right, because McCoy says it's a dead planet.
There's a lot that I did not see until the second run through because I watched them in close proximity.
No, it was good.
Well, see, it ended. The opening ended with McCoy saying, "I was looking at him. I was looking right at him.
I was looking right at him."
And he just wasn't there. And then it's like. There's the original series had some awkward transitions between opening and commercials and all those things. He just goes, he just wasn't there. And then it's like,
that was
the
how they did
and then
TV,
it like
though.
Breaks into the show's opening.
Right.
The ending was also awkward break to like sort of the in between the establishing
like,
shot at the end. Yeah. There was a commercial break after he got attacked by Rail happened. Like Rail was swinging at him and he like blocked him with a chair or something. And it like jumped to
and
commercial.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was really awkward. I remember being awkward in the one where they were playing Fizbin or whatever. That one too. There was some awkward stuff going on.
There was so
for transitions.
I also thought that while overall I thought that Spock in this episode, Leonard Nimoy, was quite good. In the teaser, it looked A, like he was reading cue cards, and B, like he was not trying at all.
Yeah, right.
Like he was just not
like
into filming that.
Yeah, scene. Because like his secondary stuff is kind of he's just kind of like meh.
Yeah.
He's going through the motions and doing it.
I agree 100%. It was a...
Well, what was it? He was talking to Scotty at one point, and Scotty was like saying, like, we got to do some shit. And he Spock goes, well, we can't do anything on our terms. He's like, well, what about we do on their terms? He's like, that is a very logical suggestion. It was like really condescending. Like, he right. guided Scotty to that answer. Right. And so, yeah, he was kind of just that whole...
Let's go through the motion.
The whole thing of him like going through...
Socratic
yeah,
method style.
Yeah, yeah, finding it. And then, but it was kind of funny when he finally just like Kirk's running down the hallway chasing some people down.
And then Spock
is just like chilling. He's like, and he's like, oh, right. I was like,
how does Kirk know that he's not frozen? Because he's just standing
there. Yeah, he's just standing there.
Right. And he gives him that good, like, little Kirk smirk. And he's like, oh, Spock.
It's like, ah, you're always
classic.
There.
After you get back from the opening, right, you look at this Rayal guy, right, who's done, you know.
First off, can I say, like, the costumery on the alien, the Skeletians is, like, especially for the men.
The men, it's
hilarious.
The women, and again,
that outfit that girl was wearing was whack, dude.
I liked it. I don't want to sound.
I loved it too.
I don't want to sound like I don't want to be misogynistic or anything.
But it was awesome. But it was awesome in that confusing,
half and half
weird
nonsense.
I loved it.
And Star Trek
green dress on the other chick.
Yeah, they do that like showing as much of the side of the woman as possible.
Right. It was all the right side,
which was that. Yeah,
the leg,
the dude. Had a crazy shiny right suit side. With like those crazy shoes,
dude, but his like his shoulder pad things yeah. where it shows like a little bit of the shoulder and the neck, it was just
but
like,
here's the thing, right,
man,
look at that guy,
what is that all about?
Look at Rayal, look at his haircut, he's yeah. the bad guy, yeah. Why couldn't they like totally. As soon as that message came
give
on the screen
patch.
Why didn't Sulu just turn to Captain Kirk and be like, well, look at that guy's a bad guy,
yeah.
look at the haircut. I mean, he's dressed up as
let's
an evil bad guy.
Let's not respond to this distress.
Right.
Though.
Let's just go
those
away.
Those guys look bad.
Those
so,
guys look bad.
Look at that city behind
us. Yeah, so wait, but that were... city was kind of cool, retro.
It was neat looking.
So, I liked it. It was very Metropolis.
It was
kind of
the, there were Skeletians. So then I was thinking of the Talosians.
Skeletians.
Talosians were from the Where No Man Has Gone Before, right?
Ooh,
was that
yeah,
the
yeah,
no, no,
one,
they're from
yeah.
the cage.
The cage, that's yeah,
the
cage, right?
The Talosians.
So but this is the Skeletians. Anyway, so they went down there. So there were five people. Now, I was not clear on how many people there actually were, because I assumed there was only five, but they said they've been doing this, like you know,
uh-huh.
having sex with people for generations.
It doesn't seem to make sense.
Why would there
that
only be five?
Work.
Yeah, for but, generations, yeah. they specifically said is my parents and the parents before that,
right.
we've been, because all the women are sterile, we've been, like, freezing people.
The
and
men
taking
are sterile.
The men are sterile, so, but the women are...
A lot of the women were
the women
sterile,
are trolling
yeah.
for seed.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
how do you keep your species going by... intermixing with other species.
That's problem number one.
Well, that's the plot.
But it's like I just wasn't clear. They never made it clear if there was five people or if there was a bunch of hidden people we didn't get to see. Because it seems like there were five, but what
they
said doesn't
well, they
add
said
up.
There were five
they
in the beginning.
That, but they're
from...
deceiving people as well.
Right.
So you don't know if it's part of the tactic.
Right.
Or
because they'll die out, as she says later.
And you can say, it's Star Trek, so they can intermix with other species.
Right.
It's a little weird because even in Star Trek, it's not supposed to be
humanoid.
Like it's not supposed to be like 100% guaranteed,
right.
But okay, that's fine. But then it's first, how many ships have they stolen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are these ships just going missing?
Right.
And nobody, like, why is nobody coming to investigate these ships going missing? She implies that this has been happening for generations.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's talking about in our history books say
right.
this happened, and then she also implies like they're doing this plan. But it hasn't worked if there's only five of them.
Right.
Like, it's clearly a shitty plan. So they didn't say that they, like, improved the technology. She seemed more confident that Kirk wouldn't, quote-unquote, burn out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was wondering if they just ended up killing everybody. But, like, still, that wouldn't explain why generations, because they're just bad at it.
I think they wanted to freeze all the men
well, so-
and have them... But there are only two women, but it was very...
This
confusing.
Is like a really
see,
60s
see,
thing.
It was a 60s,
that was,
very kind of...
like, there's these chicks and they need your seed.
They need your seed, your space seed.
Yeah,
it's
space
like
seed.
It could have been like, they could have been sailing around on a sailing ship in
right.
the Pacific and
yeah.
gone to like an island and like the chicks could have been
so,
like, we need
your
seed.
So if they
and
were doing
like,
it...
Okay.
Same deal.
So if they were doing it for generations, it doesn't make sense that there would be five, but at the same time, exactly, like you said, they were going to freeze them.
Yeah.
And if there was a whole bunch of them, there's no reason to freeze all those people. If you
right.
got probably, hopefully you want to spread that gene pool
right.
out, you know,
well,
spread it
maybe
around
that's
a
what
bit.
They wanted.
And
who
so,
knows?
So if there's a whole
more people, you got to thaw out at the
so
right
be,
because they speed them up and then they probably die.
Well, right.
Really quickly.
Yeah. So, but if there, I'm saying if there was a whole bunch of people, there's no reason they would have to freeze them. They would just take all the men and use them all up. You sure. Know? They wouldn't need to freeze them. So there's it seems no like reason. There were five
we'll just
people.
Just freeze the sperm.
Oh, by the way. There are five people. It just doesn't make sense.
No,
either way.
No. By the
that's
way.
That's one of the plot holes. Is there's no reason to freeze.
I think it's a bit also important to note that they never make clear the whole. Freezing device thing.
Right,
so they install this freezing device into the life support.
Technology.
It's
huge. Alien technology. Monster.
And then they say it's cold. And then Kirk says, I think they're turning the ship into a deep freeze for reasons known only to the Skelosians.
Right.
And then later Kirk makes the leap to say they're going to put us in under permanent hibernation, you know, like freezing, deep freeze hibernation.
Cryogenic.
But I don't recall that. I could have missed it, but in both times, I didn't hear the Skelosians ever explain exactly what the point of was freezing the ship. They were already planning to take some people.
They just
people.
Wanted to take it over because they were villains.
So are we supposed to assume that it's for storage?
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure there was a throwaway line about her saying we'll save them for later or something, but they didn't really go into it. And
then why not just save the sperm?
Yeah, I don't know. None of it makes any sense, right? None of it makes sense.
It would be more efficient.
Yeah, it would. And
maybe the writers
I don't know,
were
maybe,
just on a bunch of
if you're
going to
freeze it, you just freeze the sperm.
Well, I mean, but she also said that she should be allowed to enjoy this process.
Yes.
So she wants yes.
she, well, she can go around and whack everybody off and collect their sperm.
No, but that's not exactly
satisfying. No, but she doesn't
satisfying.
Want no, you know, I mean, no, no, she wants to be
sounds pretty
too.
Satisfying to me.
She wants to have a mate that she can have sex with.
The Japanese Kirk. Made a machine for that.
Sex doll.
So they can get one of the machines from Sony that does the work for you.
Sony.
This is all from like the wrong perspective.
Sony.
This is just for her enjoyment.
For her enjoyment only. But it's for Kirk's enjoyment too.
Wait, so it's for her
sexy time with Kirk and Deela.
Well, okay. Now, so Kirk and Co. get back to the ship. And that's when shit starts getting a little bit weird because things start malfunctioning. Now, one question I have is, were the Skelosians just sort of going around randomly fucking with shit? I know that part of what they were doing, they said, was to help, you know, accomplish whatever their task was, which turned out to be installing an air conditioning unit. But moving the medical supplies around, like,
you don't need that.
That was weird.
There was some stuff that just seemed like they were just being like, ha, fuck you.
Yeah, right.
We're just going to fuck around with your shit. I don't know. It was a little bit.
Well, and like when they first touched that freezy machine, first of all, it sounded like it was, I thought it was electrocuting him at first.
Yeah, it was making an electric
sound.
Yeah,
that's
and then
I
like when
too.
He grabbed it and his hands all stuck to it, I guess he was just trying
was
real,
like,
I don't
I'm
know what
frozen.
Was going on with that, but.
Yeah, that was odd.
But at first when they touched it, it was like, fuck. And then they were going to shoot it, and their guns flew away. Now, did the guns fly away because of the freezing machine, or did the people use their
I think they shot their
magical,
their weapons
they,
at them.
Or did they use their magical wand
they,
thing? That
yeah, they used their wand thing. Yeah.
So when they stumbled, went, that means when boop. They when they stumbled back, somebody pushed
yes.
them.
Yes, and even Kirk says, I felt like, he's
yeah.
like
he
somebody
felt like
pushed
somebody
me.
Pushed me.
And she was talking about how she pervert like made out with him while she was like
right,
running
right.
around. And he
oh,
could,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah oh,
she was making
okay.
out with him.
And so, like, first of all, both those things would cause the person to explode, right? I mean, if you're traveling at whatever speed they were traveling, and you push somebody, there's enough energy
that's
there
a good point.
To like fucking make
that's
them
a very
explode.
Good point. You're right, exactly. Absolutely. That's theory of relativity right there,
yeah,
brother.
So,
10 points to Dan.
Hooray!
It's like that thing if like Superman actually like could punch like Superman, it would be like this ridiculous.
Can Superman outrun
yeah,
the
right.
Flash?
Yeah, it'd be like a big old megaton. Yeah.
Can Superman outrun the Flash?
So,
no, he can't.
Okay, we got to talk about this whole sexual assault angle because, yeah, this Deela, I know it was different times, of course, and people would consider, even today, people would consider things differently. But, yes, she kissed Kirk while she was in speedy up mode, totally discounting the potential danger of the
theory
of
relativity.
He thought
it was insects.
Right. It sounded like a mosquito.
So she's making out with him as an insect. And then when she slows him down, she just attacks him and starts kissing him. And he's all like, whoa.
He's all like, whoa.
He's doing the Keanu
he's
Reeves, like holding
like,
his hands up.
I'm used to this. I'm Captain Kirk.
I'm Captain Kirk.
He's like, oh, I don't like this feeling.
Right.
Maybe I shouldn't do this anymore to alien women. I shouldn't kiss them randomly.
It gets me in trouble.
They all look so human.
Yeah.
They all look so humanoid.
But there were a couple things. And honestly.
But I did like her first, like after she says, I'm like the enemy.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool. She's a cool character. Yeah.
She's
like, a very interesting character.
The actress that played her did a really good job for not a whole lot, but she's a good villain.
Yeah,
so.
The actress is Catherine Brown.
Yeah, Catherine Brown.
She's
good.
She died in 2003.
Did she have a lisp?
She was married to the guy that played the dad.
Darren
on
McGavin.
The Christmas Story.
Was that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was married to
Darren
McGavin.
She had a lisp. I swear she had a lisp.
She was all over TV in like the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, the 60s and 70s and early 80s.
Some movies, but mostly TV. Basically every one of the TV shows. She was like a TV actress. Yeah, she guest starred in a lot of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think she did a really great job, but it was interesting viewing it from a modern lens.
Oh, sure.
But this idea, but it also even from a 60s, 1968 perspective, I could see this being an interesting thing to watch where you're used to seeing Kirk be sort of, Kirk was never, I mean, they overblow his reputation as a Kirk sleeping with all the women.
Right.
That's hugely exaggerated, but Kirk.
He slept with her.
Yeah,
played by William Shatner. He was traditionally a chick magnet.
Yeah, he was.
Look back at one scene when she was talking. She says,
"It's like gold shirt."
She says, she says his thief is capable of much affection. When she says his thief is capable of much. Play that part back when you have time, and you'll notice that she has a lisp and some.
Okay.
All right, everybody in the audience, you've got to play that back.
All right.
We won't be putting the time code in the episode information.
Spock was pronouncing words weirdly.
Weird Spock.
Everyone was. I think everyone was a bit off.
I do too.
If you watch this again, take note if you hadn't already. Then
Compton.
Basically, almost every extra in this episode seems to be holding back laughter, and they're trying not to smile, and they're doing it unsuccessfully.
But like those red shirt dudes that get like shot by like the stun guns when they're in the force field.
He had a scar on his cheek.
There's a bunch of red
shirt
action.
They look like mobsters. Yeah. They just look like beat up stunt guys.
Yeah. And they talked like them.
Yeah.
Although I will say they did a great job of bouncing off the force field.
Yeah, no, that was good stuff.
Especially in that era, that was hard to do. I found it. I bought it.
I was like, okay, you're old like stuntmen dude.
I totally dug it when Kirk and Spock were let through the force field, Kirk is walking around with his arm all sticking out up front, which is totally sensible. He's a sensible guy. Another example of Kirk being sensible Kirk in this episode is when he first hears the buzzing for the second time, when he tries to be like,
"Am I hallucinating?"
He's like, "Am I hallucinating?" Yeah. Which is a rational response to hearing some annoying weirdness.
And they're all looking at him like, "Well, we just did a scan on you, and you're not hallucinating."
Okay. Right?
McCoy was like, "Yeah, probably not." And then, by the way, I'm suspicious of McCoy saying, "I would guess you're not hallucinating." I think he was protecting his own ass.
You're not
because towards the later in the episode, McCoy is saying, "I've been hearing this buzzing since we beamed back."
Right, yeah. Right.
But he didn't mention hearing the buzzing.
That was weird. I noticed that.
So I was thinking he was hearing it. And McCoy was like, "Oh fuck, I'm hallucinating." Right. And then when Kirk was like, "Do you hear a buzzing?" McCoy was like, "Oh, thank fucking God."
Yeah.
He's like, "If you're hallucinating, we're both hallucinating. Right. I'm not going to admit to that shit."
Right.
Then we're in big trouble if the captain and the CEO or the CMO like are done.
It's like, "I'm just the doctor. I'm staying out of this.
Damn it, Jim. Just a doctor.
I'm a doctor, not a.
I'm gonna let Scotty mosquito. Deal with this shit." Uh-huh.
There was one point Kirk said docile, so yeah, docile. I don't know.
Natalie
pointed that out a couple times.
Yeah, he goes, "Those so treated exist at this accelerated level, becoming docile eventually."
Docile. That's so very Canadian.
People were saying some weird shit in this.
Yeah, Canadian. It is Canadian.
That's a Canadian way of saying it. Man.
Some it's just normal.
Process.
There's a bunch of Canadians. It's okay. On the show.
It's what's it all about?
Alien substances being introduced. That was another weird thing Spock said when he was, they were talking about, they were trying to analyze what was happening. What'd you think of that scene with the computer where they're just asking the computer shit?
Insufficient data.
Insufficient data. So,
yeah, but other times the computer was like, "They are planning to invade, take over the Enterprise.
Insufficient data.
How'd you figure that shit out?
Affirmative.
I mean, I think it's awesome that they have a computer that can figure that shit out, but that was some pretty high level shit. And then the other shit, it was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That was still Major Barrett, right?
Yeah, I believe
so. Yeah, it was being reasonable when it goes, "Data insufficient for determination of end purpose, negative, if incapable of resistance, negotiate terms." Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, like, that I didn't like that, negotiate terms.
Seizure and control of Federation Starship, Enterprise, and crew.
Kirk is like, "We don't negotiate with bugs."
Yeah, we don't.
Everybody was like, "No."
And Scotty was like, "Yeah, that's right."
One thing before I forget, in sick bay, I noticed this on the second time around, when Kirk lays down while McCoy is scanning him,
the table,
his hair gets tousled and he kind of looks up and puts his hand up, and then he hears the buzzing. Bzz. So that's when she first is maybe tousling his hair and like rubbing his bones.
Right.
You can tell, like, they had to do some like wire trick or something to make it happen, because it was just his hair is still and then it just goes like wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Right.
There was a part where Spock, speaking of weird words, he says, "Evidently." Instead of evidently. Well, he goes, "Evidently." Which is not a big deal.
Canadian too. It's okay.
That's what Picard said.
I don't know, but evidently.
Now, Nimoy is from Boston.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He was.
So they did this trick where when you could tell they were in fast mode because the camera was all crooked.
Yeah, that's called a Dutch angle.
A Dutch angle.
Always when they were... Yeah, it's a Dutch angle.
Show you a Dutch angle.
A Dutch angle. It's not a Dutch oven. And it's not a... What's the one with the poop on the chest?
Cleveland Steamer?
Some variation of that.
Dirty Sanchez?
No, that's different. So
they do that in Batman
yeah.
for like the crook's lair because they're the crooks. So now, crooked. I don't know if that's why they do it, but that's what it seems like.
When the camera's
a Dutch angle is when, and it's specifically when the horizon is angled, right? Because you can have like angles with a camera, but the horizon is level. So even though, yeah, maybe things in the
everything
house are
starting to.
But a Dutch angle is where like, no, that whatever the horizon is, whatever the straight lines that form the frame, they're all to the side. Dan's correct. It was every time they were in slow mode, they were in Dutch angle, and every time they went back to normal mode, and I think the coolest example, I thought it was really impressive, was towards the end when Spock drinks the water.
Yeah.
It goes from straight to it
you can
curves
it.
into the Dutch angle,
yep.
and then it starts to go back, and right as the horizon lines up, then McCoy and Chapel like return to, you see them in normal speed.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
And that was all one sort of take.
Yeah, and when Kirk's slowing back down, you can watch it like
slowing back
into place.
No.
It's interesting. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I thought like watching it when Kirk drinks the coffee, first off, the yeoman coming by with the coffee.
Yeah. It's funny they have yeomen.
What's up with that?
Like, it was hilarious. It was just this random scene.
It's just
that
people doing administrative tasks.
He's like, oh, I'm glad to see the coffee machine is not broken.
Yeah, it's like, of course it's not broken. Like
it's
Mr. like
coffee.
It's
the coffee's
that,
there. There's that, coffee. She's
that
got
yeoman
coffee.
Had to make the fucking coffee.
Yeah,
they didn't have any yeoman. They didn't have any yeoman in Enterprise.
They weren't using the replicator.
Yeah,
she had to make the coffee.
She had to pour it in.
They didn't have any administrators.
Carry the tray.
Carry the tray with the cups.
They didn't have anyone doing administrative sort of tasks in Enterprise.
Right.
And that was like before.
That's why the 60s were.
Yeah,
But I think it's important to note that the number of yeomen they had that were women, my understanding is that itself was progressive because
the
yeomen in the Navy would have been men.
Men, yes.
At that time.
It was so.
Yeah, the Navy is pretty bad.
Okay, the coffee scene,
white men,
which was entertaining. But when he drinks the coffee and everything starts to go, as you say, the Dutch angle, I thought it was a good representation. Like, obviously, someone had done some acid at that time.
Yeah, it was a lot like that. Yeah.
Because when, I hate to say adults, you know, here we go. I've done some hallucinogens in my day.
We know what you're talking about.
And that was a good representation when it starts to really kick in.
It starts to all bend.
When it starts, your time in your frame and time starts to go.
And you start seeing Scotty's.
You see Scotty sitting over there. You see Uhura, and she's all like hot, and you're like, what's going on? Yeah.
Yeah,
I just thought it was a good representation of doing drugs.
I was really...
I thought that was good.
I was really noticing in the show, like, the colors that they use. It's like, you'll have some purple and green room, and then, you know, some shiny red room, like a purple room with a sort of red console.
And the shadow
and
lighting.
So I was just thinking, that maybe speaking of vivid imagery, like, that was another... I was just, like, noticing...
Yeah,
extra,
no,
for some reason, I was noticing it extra hard in that episode. Maybe it's just because I haven't seen...
The color on that show is really great.
And it's also... Yeah. The previous episode we watched took place primarily... on a planet that looked like Chicago or something with a bunch of Chicago.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
And it was still bright and vivid, but they were trying to make it look less bright and vivid because they were making the point this is not the future or whatever. This is some weird thing going on.
It was just such a weird room at the opening when the backdrop of the cool sort of... By the way, all those sci-fi backdrops, they look like out of like sci-fi novels.
Yes.
Star Trek, they look like you'd see
in the beginning.
The matte paintings are amazing.
Like the ocean,
it's pretty far out. And I was watching the credits, and the credits, I was noticing they were showing a few of them. It looks like an old sci-fi novel, which is awesome.
Good.
But yeah, so they have that backdrop of this of that cool city in the back, but then they go off to the room where there's a fountain and some green.
Oh, right, and statue in the background is all weird.
What the fuck room is this? It looks like it's in a secret lair under the basement or something.
Right.
I think it was supposed to be outside, but it was
clearly shot inside. Yeah, that's the impression I got.
It was like a mall or something.
Yeah, it was
supposed to be outside somehow.
The statue in the background, the fountain, and straight out of Compton drinking the water.
Yeah, that statue was fucked up.
I was like, what's going on here, man?
Yeah, no, it's pretty wild. I like the part where I think it's Kirk or no, Spock says, "We may look at it, Captain, but that is all."
Oh, yeah. Right. They're toying with us.
Yeah. That was pretty...
They're showing us their superiority.
There was an arrogance to these Scalosians. Which was interesting considering how desperate they were, which again sort of conflicts with their characterization
a
of...
A show of strength.
They're almost extinct.
Yeah.
And yes, they're taking desperate measures, but they weren't acting like they were taking desperate measures. She's, you know, sort of parading around the Enterprise, you know, doing some stuff. And
but
everyone
she
just sort of
says it was a game also at the end, which is kind of fits with that a little bit, but it's like
it does.
You're all over the place.
It just feels weird that you would have that attitude.
Yeah, no, I hear you. If you're
almost dead,
right?
The Star Trek sexy music, which is the first time we hear it in this episode. The main time we hear it is with the right before we meet Dila, before Kirk drinks the coffee. Like as he's drinking the coffee, that like sexy music starts.
And so the cup know all some like sexy wiggles things. Around.
Yeah,
the cup wiggles around, which is presumably her pouring some some water in there or whatever, some Scalosian water.
Yeah, she pours the Scalosian water in.
But I like the Star Trek sexy music, the TOS sexy music. Yeah. Even though it's both sort of like sort of fun and disturbing, because there's something a little bit like weird about it that, you know, that I don't know, just that popped out at me.
I'm trying to find out evidence of Dila saying what that Freezy machine was for. And I do see the part where Kirk was saying, you know,
she said, "Ask me anything and I will tell you."
I see the part where Kirk says it was presumably he says only the Scalosians know what they're doing, but then he says something effective, presumably to like freeze our crew or something like that.
Yeah, they're going
to freeze
everybody.
But I don't think she actually,
that's what I'm saying. I don't think it comes up. And I think you sort of get the impression that the writing quality is a little bit laxer. Maybe they went through fewer drafts.
It's a little
maybe
off.
There's some stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor. Because it seems like maybe there's a scene or two missing.
Do you think they had known they were canceled by then?
I don't know. I don't know because this is the 11th episode. Yeah. I don't know how far ahead they wrote. They might have, but they knew they were on thin ice. And
they were kind of always on thin ice.
I believe the budgets were lower in this particular time period. I could be wrong about that, but I believe that's the case because this is after Star Trek was already canceled and brought back.
Right, because it feels, you know, lazy-ish here and there, but then like when Dila comes, I think she's like the strongest part of the whole
episode. Yeah, the character's interesting.
I mean, she's all over the place. She's strong. She's then very childish at times, and I don't know. I liked it.
I found it. I found the line.
It grows on you.
She does say, Dila goes, "They'll remain here in suspended animation. It will do them no harm. We are saving them for when we need them in the future. You will not last forever. You know that, Captain. Captain, we have the right to survive." This is one thing is that often like shows and movies.
But not like that.
Yeah, so often a lot of like shows and movies, someone will do something that's blatantly fucked up and their logic is like terrible in a certain sense, and they don't point it out. And it's so frustrating, but they do in this. Kirk immediately goes like, "Not by killing others."
Yeah.
You know?
"Not by killing purses others."
And he like actually went off on them and like they made it very explicit. They made it explicit, the holes in her logic, which may seem like a small thing and maybe... It didn't seem like it was beating me over the head. It was like satisfying because so many shows just kind of let some kind of logic holes like that fly, and you're just so frustrated. It's like if you guys just talk to Larry in his bedroom before you went off and told Mr. Furley what you know, he wouldn't try to get him kicked out of the apartment. You know,
Freeze Company.
Yeah, but like that's all they had to do was have a conversation, but they never did. So in this one, they're having a conversation. Didn't make a lot of difference, but there was
Star Trek has been often better about this. You know, what I do find, though, is that this story lacks a little bit of cohesion in terms of some sort of moral or philosophical tale, which, you know, that happens a lot. But yeah, it doesn't necessarily diminish the entertainment value. I think it does. I get the impression that they had a story that they wanted to tell about the nature of you're going extinct, what is justified in terms of
doing what's for survival.
But they didn't end up pushing that to the front of the story that was in there, but they focused a little bit, I think, a lot more on the kind of the gimmick of the slowdown. They got sort of
They got in love with that.
Which was cool, but again,
they didn't really go all
the way. You'll never get back, Captain.
I know. And she, you know, she's like, "Do I displease you that much or so much or something like that?"
No.
And he's like, No, like, you know, you just said that I'm not going to be able, I mean, they were able to, but under her assumption, she froze them. Yes. They're going to die soon, and they're not going to get back to their own time. He's like, and then she goes, "Do I displease you that much or whatever?"
Well, that brings up another question.
Come on, yeah, you know, if you fucking didn't do that fucked up shit.
But here's the question. Like, Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, they developed a cure, and they took it, and it worked for them.
Right.
Why didn't they give it to the Skelosians?
Right.
Are they committing genocide by inaction, by not
maybe
helping
them? Maybe they have X-Men mutations, and they can't...
But they didn't even say... It
was by radiation that they got this.
Right, yeah, but and it's this, sterile this apparent, over generations.
And, so, but yeah, but knows? This apparently at least stopped them, brought you back to normal time, which would give them more time to get people... I mean, it just the idea... The, It, there was something yeah, left was out in, here
yeah.
that Spock should have said, too bad it won't work for the Skelosians because of their whatever. Right. Yeah. All they had to do is say that, that's but they true. Didn't. It really came off as Spock and Kirk being like, all right, see you later.
Right.
And then she goes away and then Spock is like, all right, let's give this a try. Yeah. Oh shit, it works. Yep. Tight. I don't know. That was weird. And then again, they had a potential for a sort of a stronger, interesting moral tale there. Could have even been, part of it could have been Spock and Kirk having some sort of debate about the whether they should offer the cure to them or not. That could have been in there. But instead, a lot of it was focused, obviously, on the fast, slow thing, but also on this weird forced cuckold situation.
Oh, yeah. That was an interesting little weird thing they kind of
because that was like an arc throughout the whole episode where this guy seems to be, he's been friend-zoned by Dila. Rael has been friend-zoned by Dila.
Yep.
It seems a long time ago. She says, yeah, when we were kids, we hung out.
Yeah, when he was a kid.
Yeah.
I was a kid.
But she clearly he wasn't getting the messages she was sending and
she uses it because he's the scientist
and so she
gotta use him.
But at the same time
his shoes are too shiny.
She was kind of doing the Kirk thing, you know, your right up in his face. She knew he cared about her and she was making a point. Now I think I'm sympathetic to her position. I think part of her point was to say, chill out, Rael. It's not happening.
Right.
You keep thinking it's happening. It's not happening. Happen. And I'm trying to prove it to you by like making out with this Canadian fella.
Right.
And that just made him mad.
Yep. And he tried to kill him.
And then it gave her an excuse to not put him down on the ground.
Well, Kirk did that weird thing where he suddenly times. Like he started saying, "Did I behave correctly? Did I behave incorrectly?"
It was a ruse.
Well, so it was this weird ruse. Did he do it because he? Like, did he figure it out that... Because when he stopped doing that, she goes, oh, maybe the reason I liked you is because of your stubbornness. Your stubbornness reminded me of Rael, you know? Yeah. And so did he know that she only likes men when they're pissed off at her or something? So he... And I don't mean... I mean, that sounds like a pretty kind of sexist thing to say or whatever.
1968.
But it is... It's kind of like, you know... And so why did he suddenly do this ruse? Was he trying to get her to go back to Rael? Like, what was the point of the ruse? Where was he going with that? He was just trying to steal the thing.
He was just trying to steal the whatever controller off of her.
So he was just trying to lull her.
So
he was a classic lull.
He was like, I'm going to make out with you, lull you, and then I'm going to be like, haha.
So he was just trying to
space lull.
He was just trying to make her think that he succumbed to her.
Yeah,
situation.
That her female.
It was awkwardly presented.
I don't know why they had to present the whole thing of like, yeah, well, this is what I liked about Rael. I don't like you as much now that you're, you know. It was a weird. It was a weird point.
It was color commentary, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
I do think it was a bit awkwardly presented, and plus it was the point of the episode. It was. I don't know. It was again. The pieces are all there for but you go through a few more drafts dots. And maybe you smooth out some of this stuff. But there was a disconnected chunks kind of interfered a little bit with whatever the story they were trying to tell was.
Right.
So I was reading like a lot of the criticism was people saying that like it's kind of a neat idea, but like they should have focused more on like the mystery of what was trying to happen instead of just like Kirk like. Pretty soon, like he's the one that figures out what's going on. Like you could have like extended the suspense a little bit, and there could have been more mystery about like, but well, let's try to figure out what's happening,
right?
Yeah, by cutting back and forth between the different
he goes into like the fast zone pretty quickly.
Yeah,
in the episode
by cutting back and forth between the fast and the slow times, it was confusing because basically what happens is he goes drinks the coffee, he goes all fast, he runs out of the room. And then they cut to the crew after that, and the crew's like, where did he go? And they're doing all this shit, right? And then it cuts back to Kirk running down the hall. Well, we're already out of sync here if that's supposed to be in chronological order. Now, I know sometimes shows do this stuff out of that aren't chronologically in order, but you can kind of tell when that's happening. Like when Picard did it, you know, and they were doing the where they were investigating that CSI kind of thing.
Yeah, it's edited in a certain way.
You can tell that it wasn't, but this like looked like
post-production.
It was presented as if it was linear. So it like cuts back to Kirk, and then Kirk does that weird Kirk kick to Compton, weird sidekick thing.
Oh, yeah,
kicks Compton's ass.
Straight out of Compton got fucked up.
He gets knocked out, and then it cuts back to the crew trying to figure out what happened to him. Cuts back to him
unconscious. Cellular damage.
It cuts back to Kirk unconscious. Like, so presumably, all the shit that happened to Kirk happened to them as they were realizing he was gone in the first few seconds.
Compton's all like melting away.
All that shit that happened afterwards in that scene, like you could have done that fast scene that showed in that same time, like 300 times over.
Compton like turning all old and the music. That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool, but it was kind of fun.
But it presented, okay, again, I'm not one to overly criticize the sort of technobabble choices. But, you know, again, we're nerds. We nitpick. This is the fun thing. I was confused by the concept of you are a normal time person. You have your cells accelerated. This makes them so that if you are damaged, your cells then age at
an
even more rapid rate.
Somehow it throws off the...
Is it like a chain reaction or something? It kind of doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You'd think the guy would be all like frozen or something.
Or the thing with the phaser, like...
Just because that doesn't make any sense.
You're existing at like different like sort
it
of.
It still goes at light speed.
It's still the speed of light.
I was actually looking.
It doesn't change.
I was actually looking up the speed of phaser speeds. First of all,
speed of light.
The way they were cutting back and forth between fast and slow, I think it would have been kind of interesting. Now they wouldn't have to do this. Maybe it made more sense where they make it like a mystery, like you were saying, Jesse. But if they were going to cut back and forth like they did, it would have made more sense to me if they had the slow scene and then when they cut back to the other scene it had been like 3 or 4 days and then they cut back to the slow scene a few minutes and then it 3 or 4 days later or whatever.
You should time travel back to the 60s and fix that.
That was like something that they wouldn't have done in a 60s show. That's something they would have done in a more contemporary.
So I was looking at the internet of what people think that the phaser travels at now that my assumption was light speed of light.
That's most people's.
And according to some guy on Reddit, he says the technical manual says it's light speed. But other people think, because other people are doing it based upon the frame rate, like actually going frame by frame and seeing it travel.
Yeah, yeah.
So one estimate I saw said it was 112 miles per hour, which is slower than a bullet.
That's not very fast.
I saw someone else say they thought it was like 80 kilometers per hour. Like, but it's
concentrated light.
But then other people, there's a lot of people who say that it travels significantly slower than light speed. Now, I don't know about 112 miles per hour.
Yeah,
slower,
it ain't that.
Like, that, but at this, my assumption is light speed as well. But I looked around and there's a lot of debate. But first of all, if you look about 38 minutes in when they're in the transporter room, you see Scotty in the background in the door.
Scotty in the background.
Scotty. Yeah.
Standing in the doorway.
Turtle power.
He's frozen.
And so
computer.
And at the end, when they're saying goodbye to Dila and stuff, you see Scotty again. He's still there in that same spot.
Right.
So this whole episode happened and he's just chilling there. But when that laser,
it's hilarious. That scene's hilarious.
The laser took...
Those other two, like, mob-looking red-shirt dudes are all frozen.
Yeah, no, that's great, too.
So if we're gonna, like, just go by whatever we see, the laser looked like it traveled about 6 feet. I looked at it about 6 feet in 2 seconds. It was about 2 seconds for 6 feet.
Whoa, did you measure
it? I just
smell
some math.
She
artful dodged it.
So if we're gonna go based upon the assumption that it's 112 miles per hour, I worked it out. That would be 164 feet per second.
Damn.
Would be 112 miles. I think my math is right on this.
Which
in normal time would mean that the same 2 seconds that took 6 feet would have taken close to 330 feet in normal time. So we're talking about a difference of a factor of 55.
That's why I went to a liberal college for no math.
So 10 minutes. 10 minutes in normal time would equal 10 minutes of normal time would equal 9 hours of speedy time.
Damn.
And 1 hour of normal time would be 2.3 days of speedy time. Keep in mind, this is assuming that the phaser goes only 112 miles per hour. That's slow as fuck, and it's still a huge difference in time. Now, if we're assuming light speed travels at 671 million miles per hour.
Something like that.
What I read.
No, it's fast.
Right? That equates.
That's really fast.
That's a factor.
We've been O'Dan'd.
That's a factor of about 328 million.
Damn.
O'Dan. So 1 hour is about close to 13 and a half million days.
Jesus.
For 1 hour of time. If that's going at
so they'd be
speed.
Born and dead.
It's a blink of
so
an eye.
Yeah, and
a wink of an eye.
Yeah, it'd be,
a wink
it'd be
of
half the
Dan's
speed.
Brown
it
eye.
Would be half the speed of a blink of an eye, which would be the wink of an eye. So, yeah.
What about a brown eye?
It's a quarter of a wink. It's half a wink.
Half a wink.
So I mean, if we're talking about, yeah,
that
like
was a winking suggestion.
Even being generous, it's still fucking 1 hour of figuring shit out is 2.5 days for them. She did say it took forever to transport, you know.
Now,
so, but at the same time, like, it's just the way they presented all the action. Even when he sent that message and they got it later, mm-hmm. even though she did point out by the time yes. they get this, it'll be too late.
It would be too late.
It still that didn't match big... up.
And it wasn't too late.
It wasn't too late because Kirk was yeah. fucking with shit.
It was like she didn't know that like you could use other technology
it's,
to get right. out of it.
It's like right. when you could watch a show and it's telling you to feel a certain way, but you don't feel that way. You have to present it. And they didn't, and this is not the same thing because it's not feeling as in emotions. Like when a movie like The Patriot tells you to feel sad, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm supposed to feel really sad right
the
now.
Patriot.
So anyways, this movie.
Racist ass Mel Gibson.
Doing some math, which I think is fairly, you know, broad, but like, you know, I think it gives an idea. It didn't, what it presented didn't add up. So,
no,
and I know that's nerdy, but when, and maybe it's like, it's, and I don't mean like nerdy as in
a little bit nerdy over here.
I mean, I don't mean nerdy as in like, oh, I'm into nerd culture. I'm so cool. I don't mean that. What I mean is like, I know it's nitpicky and kind of like, that's not the point of watching it.
I think you're pretty cool, Dan.
But I think, no, I think
you mean like as an actual cool.
I think that there are times when it's too nitpicky to get at something, but I don't think that's being too nitpicky.
This isn't one of those times.
I just think because I think
that day is not today.
Because I think it affected the narrative is what I'm saying. I think it affected the narrative in the way it was presented when switching back between two scenes. Well, I was like, I don't know what's really happening here.
Particularly the example
I don't think the writers did either.
Yeah, no, it's especially the example you provided because a lot of the other examples you could say, okay, it's out of sync, but that's just because that's how they want to show it because it flows a little bit better that way. But your example is, yeah, she said they would not be able to do anything in time. It would already be activated and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that Kirk did exactly what she thought he was going to do. He recorded a message and left them a message, you know? And I know he was all sneaky about, like, I'm going to all sneakily put it in the tape player. But it didn't seem to matter because she didn't really... She wasn't doing
anything.
Looked
like 8 tracks, too.
There was... When what we...
Call them tapes.
What we saw of the speedy time narrative... It was all continuous. We saw from beginning to the end. The only lapse in time we saw is when he had sex with her.
Yes.
So if he was having sex with her for like 2 days straight.
You know he was.
You know he was.
She would be an old lady.
What I mean is what happened that would probably took like an hour on the ship or something. Like I'm saying
maybe
like.
Maybe three.
I'm saying.
They were doing sexual gymnastics.
I'm saying that in the speedy time, at least 2 days speedy time should have passed. And I did not get the impression that 2 days of their time passed. Unless they fucked. The fucking was the only time they broke away for the time lapse.
Well,
we're gonna have to assume that there was 2 days of sex in between.
Yeah, it could have
been.
Where
else did it come from?
Time stood still.
Yeah.
What amount of time do you think it was? Because you're saying 2 days, and what are some clues to that? Because that's something I wrestled with. I couldn't figure out how much speedy time had passed. I couldn't figure out how long they were on the ship.
It doesn't really matter.
So given that a phaser. Unlikely, by the way.
Yeah.
So
you're using that calculation.
112 miles per hour. 1 hour is 2.3 days.
Yeah.
And it's probably faster than 112 miles
an
hour.
You just got
so
damn.
It's probably more time passed. It didn't.
Well, it did allow us to have that weird scene where Dila is looking in the mirror, which I really liked the shot.
Where you see Kirk in the shot.
Now, that's not the problem I had.
That was a cool shot, though.
I thought the composition of the shot was great. I thought Shatner's acting and expressions in the mirror when she's combing her hair and saying, blah, blah, blah.
Do you
not look at women? And he says, oh, you know, if they're pretty enough,
right.
Which is kind of a scoundrelly thing to say.
Right.
But he said it with his charming little wry little smile.
Uh-huh.
That I was all fine with. What I was less fine with was that she stroked her hair maybe 3 or 4 times, turned around and said, like, am I presentable now?
Yeah.
And Kirk just says, a bit. And it's almost like Shatner himself, the actor, couldn't handle this. He's like, you didn't do anything. You didn't put your hair up. You just did a few brushes.
You just brushed a couple times.
And talked to me the whole time you were brushing in a weird, creepy way.
Right.
talking to me through the mirror. That's
right. What are you talking about?
I think the most Shatner-y line, I think, was when she was talking about like, we had no choice. And he's like, yeah, what you did is wrong. You know, when they're having that, when they're all breaking it down.
Yeah.
And he's like, you invaded my ship. You threatened my crew. And she's like, there's no difference. And he goes, there is a difference. Your trouble is in you.
You know? Yes.
I can't do a Shatner for shit.
The trouble is in you.
But he really, that fucking line, the way he presented it.
Yeah, no,
he did all the classic pauses that they make fun of in cartoons and stuff.
He's amazing.
It was awesome. I love it. I loved it. I thought it was so cool.
Yeah, because he told it like it was.
All right, so there was a line that I wanted to bring up because it enraged me. It just, most of this episode I thoroughly enjoyed. I liked, even when there were some issues, it was not a big deal. But this pissed me off because Dila says, the difference between us is that you will come around to our way of thinking sooner or later. And that didn't make any sense. Because the difference between us is, did she mean that I'm not going to come around to your way of thinking? Like, was that the implication? That's the most charitable version basically of that, but it still doesn't really make sense. It was an awkward line that I don't know. It almost sounded like it was read incorrectly or something. I don't know. It just popped out at me that annoyed me. Because it was like the difference between us. Like the statement does not logically follow.
Well, what was the, going back to the scene where Kirk and Spock originally went to the cold thing, when they touched the cold thing?
The alien technology.
And Spock was all talking about, like, basically suggesting that they have power over us and they want to express it, basically. Was that. So unless she was being a real jerk about, you know, basically saying, we're awesome and you suck.
Okay. Well, that's how she's introduced when she says she's the enemy. And like, she does, like, that's her personality. Like, you know.
And then she asks, then she ends it with, do I displease you so much?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She's not.
She goes from like child to adult to child.
It's just the way the writing is present. I feel it's presented is that doesn't lie. It doesn't sound like she's, when she goes, do I displease you so much? It doesn't sound like she's aware of all the fucked up shit she did.
It's it's an entitlement.
But, so she's a sociopath.
She's but entitled.
Like, but like
royalty. She's a queen.
But she's queen. So it sounds perfectly what a queen would say.
But it might go, but with what you were saying, Patrick, about how she was saying what, like, the difference between you and me is that you'll come around to our ways. Like, that would go along too if she was that much of, you know, a real duty about it.
Yeah,
you know?
She is a duty.
But it's at the same time, Kirk seemed to like her almost in a way at the end.
Yeah,
like, he seemed to like her.
Yeah,
so,
he definitely.
So it just, it didn't, it kind of, there was a dissonance there between of how she was presenting herself as this innocent person. Now, it could just mean.
But she wasn't.
But she wasn't. Now, and I understand, like, yeah, some characters present themselves as innocent and they're really, you know, fucked up. And that's what the power in that character is. But with her, I don't know if I really got that. It seemed like she still had this presentation of innocence that
comes down to, that's where the flaw in they did not examine enough this concept of the what level of justification there is for you to save your entire species, right? Mm-hmm. Because in Enterprise, they sort of go the other way. In season 3 of Enterprise, Captain Archer starts doing some fucked up shit. And he justifies it, even though he feels very guilty about it, and it affects him on a long-term basis. He nevertheless does some shit in order to, that's everyone in this room would consider as fucked up, to it, from his perspective, help save his civilization. So Star Trek's looked at it from a few different perspectives. It's just that in this particular episode, it's sort of almost window dressing.
Yeah.
They did not really go into it enough or even talk about, you know, well, what are you going to do? They're trying to save their civilization. Let's try to help them by giving them the cure that we found.
Right. Just her personality, I don't know. It was very childish. It was very, you know, like that queen, like, she hasn't been around a lot of people if they said there were 5 of them.
Yeah.
She probably, there probably, you know, is some kind of social, you,
like,
know.
Just having a young child is just like, okay, you're acting very, like, selfish and young and stupid.
There's some social stagnation.
Definitely stagnation.
When Compton died, and I guess he was betrothed to that.
The girl in green.
And we'll Dila was just like, we'll find you another one.
Yeah, right?
The ship is full of them.
Full of them.
Yeah, that, and I wasn't sure what turned him. He seemed like that. Compton got turned because he had sex with that girl.
Yeah, yes. I think so. That was the implication. That was it.
And then he was like, sorry, Captain, I'm not going to follow your orders anymore. And then he turns on Kirk real fast because he had sex with a woman, but then he turns back on his new friends real fast when Kirk gets knocked out, because he's like, that's my captain. It's like, motherfucker, you let him
Pick
right into
side.
Us.
Yeah.
You made him come into us. And
yeah.
what, like,
And
get your shit together,
it
man.
It is an example of as progressive Star Trek. The original series was an extremely progressive show, mm-hmm. but it was not 100% progressive.
No, I mean,
it was
progressive for the
60s. They did reify some things, and they reify in that character sucked. The concept of like women are evil, mm-hmm. women's vaginas yep. are evil,
right.
and they will ensnare you.
Right, right.
And,
that was the whole deal.
And the strongest
thing.
Loyalties yep. will
it's like
be
I,
shattered.
I met a girl, and she's unlike anyone
else
because she sucked the semen out of you, mm-hmm. and that's not a good look for Star Trek.
So she's not like these Starfleet
trolling
chicks.
For sea
because they don't give any. Other rational reason for this guy to completely abandon it other than
right.
as you said
he fell in love
he's like this girl is hot so now fuck you all captain
was, right
it was
that
in the,
doesn't make sense
only in the bedroom scene though she was saying basically like look this is how it is I can't I at least you know enjoy myself which I guess could be taken either way but you could also say it's in a sense that she was just
progressive for
she was
time.
Like pointing out that you know it's like hey dude fucking put your dick back in your pants. Like, this is just what reality is right yeah. now, you know? So, yeah, so I don't know.
The analogy would be if a soldier is kidnapped in a war zone and he's kidnapped by a group that includes some very attractive women who then imprison him in some sort of compound that is relatively comfortable. It's a nice compound, but he's nevertheless
I like
imprisoned
where this
there.
Story's going.
And then they tell this gentleman, you have no choice but to fuck these ladies and just forget about the outside world. Look how much power we have over you. You have to do this. Now, up to this point, yes.
Okay.
Have sex with the
what
captors if you feel
right?
comfortable
what
doing
else?
That. Make yourself as comfortable as you can. But when your
it?
Captain shows up to rescue your ass, you
right.
don't fucking
say no
fucking,
sorry.
Say
captain.
Go fuck yourself, Captain. I'm fucking these ladies. That's the difference. The difference is when the fucking army shows up,
you're gonna be
you
like,
say,
let's
okay,
get out of here.
Oh,
wait a minute. Okay.
You
wait,
say, here are the secrets
out.
I learned while having sex with these ladies.
Right, right.
I learned all these secrets and now I'm ready to go. You know, it's called a win-win scenario.
Good point.
I mean, well,
everybody.
I mean,
win.
She still had
it's
to have
win,
sex
win.
With the guy. I mean, Rayo could have been watching for all
he
she cared.
Probably
like,
was, and he was jealous.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
who
saying,
cares?
Like, it's
who
like
cares?
There's no way out of it. You can't just, like, there's no captain that can show up
another,
and get you
another,
out of it.
Another more sympathetic interpretation, though I don't think this is what the writers were thinking. I think this is we're going to add on and we can retcon it. Because the more sympathetic would be sort of the, you know, he's captured and he's essentially sexually assaulted mm-hmm. by this green dress lady.
Yep.
And maybe that's just a psychic response was to just be like, all right, I'm just gonna to make
this
to make this assault make sense. I will,
oh,
you
no.
know, yeah. What there's a term for that, you know, the Helsinki syndrome.
The Helsinki.
Yeah.
But I mean, are you talking about from the perspective of Kirk? Like he shouldn't have had sex with her? Is that what you're saying?
No, Compton.
No,
I'm talking about Compton.
You were talking about Compton.
Straight
oh,
out of Compton.
Oh yeah, no, that totally. I thought you were talking about Dila having sex with Kirk.
No, that's
I was,
a whole other.
Yeah,
whole
okay.
Other.
I was
no,
totally.
Kirk was always in control.
Okay. Okay. Well, no. Let me clear something up because when Patrick made the point about the person having sex and their captain shows up, you shouldn't continue to have sex with.
Yeah,
the point.
That was he was making a point.
Yeah, he was making it with Compton. Okay, I was saying it from the point.
Compton's the victim.
I was saying. Hold on. I was saying it from the point. I thought we were talking about the point from Dila because with Dila, what I was saying is that. Real was being like really jealous, and the one thing you
totally
could say
jealous.
Is that Dila, I guess, did stand up for herself in some respect,
yes.
being like, look, this is how life has to be right now.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the one thing I guess could be considered progressive in a sense,
yeah,
because she was saying like, this is what how reality is. Are you going to make me, force me
yeah.
be miserable?
Right.
That's not
give
fair.
Me the dignity
right.
to like
yeah.
the man I choose.
This is,
precisely.
Yeah, right.
That was the very
yeah, and so,
progressive.
So I was arguing some from a point with that argument you were making about that. It just didn't make any sense. Now that you say you were talking about Compton, okay, yeah, that totally
no,
makes
so
sense.
It's just... If you look at it, the probably its effect from the 1968 perspective, they were using the old trope of the evil vagina,
right?
And that's why Compton, you know,
yeah.
But again, it was awkwardly presented because were they drugging him or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And then when Kirk
right.
does the ruse later, you're thinking, oh, does this have an effect on their brain? Does that
mm-hmm.
justify what Compton did?
Right,
oh,
because
no,
she says something about like he's turned,
yeah, or he's grown to
now.
Accept.
It was
he's
an awkward moment. He's like. Is like, am I behaving incorrectly? I mean, ruse or not, it was a
yeah.
really awkward, weird.
It was
turn.
A strange transition.
Yeah. I think for me, it was just the disconnect between like the narrative of the slow and then the narrative of the fast and how none of it really made any sense.
It never meshed.
Yeah.
How did they get onto the ship?
Right. Well, she was supposed to have beamed up, but it never makes that very clear.
And I get the idea that, you know, you move so fast, people can't see you or whatever, but you got to go really fucking fast. Yeah. Not to see anything.
Really?
And you would be going so fast that you wouldn't be hanging around long enough that you'd hear a buzz in the air.
And if you were standing in place, wouldn't they still see you?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at.
If you stopped moving.
The way they presented it, some of those things didn't make sense.
I think you'd have to stand still for a long fucking time, because like to even become invisible at all, you have to be moving really fast.
Even like a shadow or something under the corner
of your eye. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but I would think you'd have to see something, at least, no matter what. And like I said, if you're moving that fast that you can't see him, you wouldn't be there long enough to make a buzzing noise to hear. You'd be in a room for a split second. It wouldn't be like, but maybe they were just going around so much that it all blended together.
Or they were watching movies. They might have been bored and watching some movies.
Right? I was wondering about, so with these ships, right, do they have modular units to go like...
You're talking about when Spock is watching the episode to get clues about the episode.
Exactly what I'm talking
about. Just like Commander Riker Riker does the same thing in Encounter at Farpoint. He loads up the episode in order to get up to speed on what's going on
right now. But yeah, and they
previously on Star Trek.
So like when they upgrade their tape decks to like, you know, CD players or whatever, how are they going to do that unless their shit's modular? How do they have hardware upgrades in that fucking system? You'd think that they'd want to keep up to date, because god damn it, a tape player is gonna eventually by year 2700 be out of date, you know, at some point. But yeah, it's out of date
by the next generation.
But watching them like do a tape player in fast,
it's out of date by now.
I know. I was immediately thinking like, how are they gonna upgrade that thing to a better tape player when time comes? Yeah. Which it should have, of course, already had. But
no, I think it's got to be modular. But yeah, I just thought it was hilarious that he was like, you know, we need some clues to solve this mystery. It was straight out of fucking Spaceballs.
Yeah, it was Spaceballs. Yeah. Right now.
We're at the movie right now.
Yeah.
When will then be now?
He like slows down the tape and then he speeds it up.
Yeah, he's like, what happens when I slow it down? This happens when I speed it up. So the line that Spock was saying right after, when Patrick, you mentioned that when they looked at the Freezy thing, he goes, "It seems that we may look at it, Captain, but that is all." So you got that line just right. And then Kirk goes,
"Goddamn right I did."
And Kirk goes, "A show of strength." And then Spock goes, "Yes. Evidently, they are convinced that we can do nothing to stop them, and they wish to impress upon us what they can do to us."
Right.
So that is straight up like, you know, goes along with her saying like, you know, we're going to get you. You can't get us, you know. But it still was kind of awkwardly presented in the way she'd said
it. And clearly how they were acting very arrogant, and they had no anxiety. They didn't seem to have any particular anxiety. Rayal's anxiety was at least initially 100% focused on the fact that Kirk was going to be sleeping with the girl that he liked.
Yes.
Yeah. It was weird that Spock took the time to sort of get all detailed about that response. Like, normal person would hit that and be like, "Oh shit, they put a trap on her. We better not fuck with it." They're, you know, but he was all broke it down philosophically. But it was kind of like let you in on the plot a little bit. You know, it was a little.
That's a good point. And I think that's a fair point.
Have your readings been fed into the computer? Affirmative.
Insufficient.
Affirmative. Yeah, that's funny. Spock goes affirmative. He goes read out. Data. Computer analyze reply. Have we been invaded? Affirmative.
Affirmative.
A lot of affirmatives going on.
Insufficient data.
Yeah, they said that. There was an episode of South Park where they were like talking to some computer and it was like doing that. And I think they must have gotten it from Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. They watched a lot of Star Trek. Yeah. When they make fun of Jeff Bezos as basically a Talosian with a huge brain.
Remember when they were making fun of Family Guy? And they were talking about like the captain and Tennille, and it was like Captain Picard.
Dila seems to know a lot about the Federation all of a sudden. Like, at the end?
Right. She's like, "Your Federation won't come anywhere. They'll quarantine us."
Which is correct. I mean, she knows exactly. Right. She's a smart person.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Again, did you send out a distress call saying, "Hey, there's something wrong"? You figured out this whole slowing messages
send some
down.
Scientists down
because
there
they sent
to...
they sent the video slowed down. They understood they understand their situation.
Right. It's obviously been looped for
so send
of years.
Slowed down messages that say, "Yo, shit got real wacky down here on the planet. Could you send some of those Federation scientists our way to help us out?" and discover a solution.
A cure.
Again, it goes a little bit into the arrogance, I suppose, that they were trying to solve their own problems. But we are really working hard to feed these messages into this plot because they are things that they could have looked more into and they didn't.
Yeah. That was the other part of the awkward cut that I was seeing, because she goes, there won't be any others. You'll warn them. Your Federation will quarantine the entire area.
Quarantine.
And Kirk's like, yes, I suppose it would.
That's a good word.
And then she goes, yes. And she goes, and we will die and solve your problem that way. And ours.
And that's when
it cuts to the establishing shot of the ship.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's pretty fucked up.
It's like that.
It's like, what's going on?
It's like in the animated series when that planet alien is going like, you know, so lonely. Like, then it cuts back to like, okay, well, we're wandering around again, you know?
Kirk's got a smile on his animated face.
It's like, it's a downer way to sort of end it. But then it's almost, they're like trying to okay, we got to make this a serious note, but be happy again. Be happy again.
It's still ultimately, listen, they had a cure. I really can't get over this.
Yeah,
Undercut by not explaining either why they didn't give the cure or having a discussion or whatever. I don't know. That's what ultimately undermines this episode for me. I can overlook a lot of the other stuff, but in terms of the plot, it's confusing because it's not like this is some primitive perspective. It's not even a 1968 the 1968 liberal Hollywood writers would not be writing stories about like, oh yeah, you know, just genocide the people.
Yeah.
Don't give them the cure. That's crazy. Yeah, right. Why would we give those foreigners the cure?
Yeah, do you think it just didn't occur to them to give them the cure, the writers, or do you think they specifically were being like spiteful, being like, fuck those people? Like, I don't know.
I think it's just a mistake, honestly. I think
they forgot to add the line.
Like, if they didn't want to have the discussion, they forgot to add the technobabble line, which was like, the radiation still continues to pour out, so this cure would be ineffective.
I can't remember what it was.
Take him to a different planet then. We can't do that because
in the pale moonlight DS9, I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was another thing that was happening that like
in the pale.
That I think I was saying something effective, like they could have just said this one line to write it off, but they didn't. But in that case, it was to like show how Garrick's a badass.
Yeah.
I wish I remember what it was, because that would make much more sense, more context. But the point being is here, right? They didn't have to even give any much technobabble. They could have had like a one sentence explanation for why they couldn't give her the cure for.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen season 3 of TOS. It has a reputation for having its issues. And again, budgetary issues. It was canceled and came back. Yep. I think Gene Roddenberry had largely checked out at that point. Mm. He was adding in things, you know, he was trying to fluff up the marketing, maybe make whatever cash he could.
Right.
I think there were lots of talented writers who were doing their best. But again, even the most talented writers, they need the support. They need the time to be able to do things. So, I recall in the there's some ghosts in my memory about just the various production issues and complications behind the scenes.
That's why I was like, it's the third. I mean, how do they know? And the money and budgetary, all kinds of wacky stuff.
And I think you see it on the screen, unfortunately. Yeah. And plenty of it is still great. But you see, I think sometimes the actors are a little not into it.
It's just they're going through the motions.
Yeah.
Not that I care at all or am judgmental at all about this kind of thing, but did Shatner bulk up a little bit from the first to the third season?
Do you mean muscle-wise?
Did he get a little puffy?
He was drinking some beer.
Yeah, I feel like they showed in the credits a shot of what I think was Kirk, and he looked like he had a really slim face in the credits, I thought.
I'm sure it wasn't that long, skinny, bald alien guy with the triangle face that you mistook for William Shatner.
I mean, I'll be really embarrassed.
Like, oh, he's like, William Shatner looks pretty good.
I'll be really embarrassed.
They get rid of that guy by the third season.
Yeah, really embarrassed if it was Pike, but I don't think it was Pike.
No, they didn't show Pike.
They don't show him.
Like they did show shots from the cage, like in the end credits for a while.
The episode that they use footage from the cage.
Yeah, the menagerie. Yeah, the two.
Yeah, but I'm saying in the end credits they also show like a. Yeah. I swear they do.
No, they kept that. You know, anything that looked cool.
I don't know. Maybe he didn't put on weight. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I put on weight, so whatever. Fuck me.
I'm a big weight putter on her.
I'm not judging him. I was just
getting ready for TJ Hooker.
I was just
eventually.
Curious.
The difference between you and me, Dan, is that you'll come over to my side
way of thinking.
Which Whatever. Is what?
It's a callback. This is a call. That's in,
oh, wait. Because
humor. It's a callback to a previous mention of that line. to Dila's line. Oh,
I totally think I was like, "What? What do you finish that sentence?
Why don't you finish?
I didn't know what you meant. Hey, finish that sentence.
What are you talking about?
Okay, a couple weird lines, right? Okay, especially towards the end. Kirk's, you know, when Kirk comes back, he takes the antidote, and Scotty sees him.
Yeah,
and this guy's like, you know, where you been or whatever.
Spock,
and Kirk says, "Out of the nowhere." Into the here.
Yeah.
That's a dumb line. I'm sorry.
It's a little too much.
Star Trek, especially the original series, had great lines of that type. They failed here.
Yeah.
They failed here. It didn't make any sense. He wasn't nowhere. He was on the Enterprise.
Right, he was on the Enterprise.
He was always there.
Right.
So he went from the here to the here.
Nowhere, but he was there all the time.
It should have been a speed-based pun, if anything.
Right. He stayed in the same place and he slowed the fuck down.
Yeah.
Not where are they? When are they?
Yeah.
Well, there was the part
Spock is fixing this
shit. With Dila. This is an example of she had a lisp. I know it's not really what you're talking about, but it was talking about their
example number two
but
the speech impediment that Dan has identified in the actress.
But she was also pointing out how she's creepy, right? Because she goes, "It was quite delightful kissing you while you couldn't see me."
Do you think that was done on purpose to sort of convey a creepily childlike thing as Jimmy was talking?
Yeah,
about.
I do think
it
so,
could be
yeah.
that Maybe. Was a, it I was a, so. It was an affectation meant to
yeah, because it didn't seem like she had a lisp in most of the talking, just came
sometimes.
Out. But sometimes their southern accent comes out when they get really worked up or something, or their whatever accent.
I mean, Scotty's accent's southern all accent? Over
I mean,
the
whoever's
place.
Accent.
Everyone, he's from Canada.
Everyone gets a South Carolina.
Right? He was playing a Scottish.
Everyone gets
yeah,
a South
accent,
Carolina accent.
Third is like,
yeah, I was going to imagine some guy from Toronto and all of a sudden is like, "Hey, y'all, what the hell are you doing?"
Okay.
What do you all think you're doing up here?
Gotta
get them Tim Hortons.
Everyone gets their home style accent when they get worked up. Maybe when she gets worked up, she gets her lisp back or something.
It could be. Although
Stella got her lisp back.
Honestly, now that you mention it, Stella. It kind of makes sense in terms of the characterization of her sort of infantilizing herself in romantic.
Yes.
Because it's something maybe she doesn't have a lot of experience with.
I don't
other
so.
Than this crazy Rael guy who's all chasing after her, not getting the hint, Mr. Friendzone. Mr. Friendzone with the evil haircut and the crazy outfit.
Dude, his
did
outfit
they ever hook
is
up?
Something else,
did
man.
They must have hooked up as kids or something. Because she said she still loves him, but it's Friendzone.
She said, "I loved him as when we were kids. I was in love with
him.
But
like a girlhood crush."
But what does that mean? Kids could mean literally kids. It could also mean when we were teenagers, kids, when we were kids. But she's not old enough, I don't think, as presented to be, you know, when we were kids.
Right.
Because I assume that they were together or something and she just didn't like him. Not that she didn't like him, but she had to have sex so she could get impregnated. So
he had
the
bad seed.
And like
he was sterile,
and
dude.
She needed the seed.
He was sterile.
The impression
Kirk seed.
So the impression
Kirk
that I kind of...
seed. Space seed.
The impression that I kind of had...
Sperm.
Okay, it's very funny. The impression I got is that her and him were together, but she had to have sex with people in order to make the race... make the species continue, right? And he was getting jealous. And so when he went to kiss her because he was jealous, it turned her off because his like kissing was done out of jealousy. Whereas under normal circumstances, she would have accepted it because they are together. Or is it simply just like he's crushing on her hard and they're not together? You know what I'm saying?
That's,
are they?
That's
I think
the
it's
answer.
The difference between cuckolding and hot wifing.
Yeah, but like, was he ever together with
her? Using technical.
No,
terms.
I mean, was he ever together? So you, I mean, we're.
I don't know.
Are they married?
No.
Okay, here's my view.
Probably not.
I thought they were, but I could be wrong. You could be totally right.
My first run through, I just sort of assumed what you were, you know, that as you're suggesting that maybe they were together at one point at least.
Yes.
That's what I assumed. The second run through, I became a little bit, I focused more on her kind of A, constantly dismissing him.
Yes.
And B, telling Kirk, you know, yeah, when we were kids, we grew up together. You know, we were affectionate, we were close, but yeah, no, I'm not, I'm into you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really into you. I'm doing all this stuff that's undermining
right.
my mission because
you.
I'm into you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Kirk, it's important to note, Kirk didn't strategize to be like, not initially. That was not his move. She assaulted him. She was clearly attracted to him.
Yeah, it's true.
He pushed her off until he decided, okay, I'm going to use the fact that she wants to be affectionate with me to manipulate her so that I can save the ship.
Yep.
Right? That would certainly be what he wrote in his report to start.
That would definitely be enjoying the bummer of a scenario they were in, like she wanted to do.
I guess. Trying to make a purse out of a pig's ear. No, that doesn't apply here. But it's a fun saying, nevertheless.
I never heard that saying.
Yeah. Well, now you have. But anyway, yeah. So what was the other?
You were talking about lines. Purse. Lines that were silly.
Oh, the other line that was silly was when Spock says, "I found it an accelerating experience."
Oh, yeah. Oh, at the end. Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense. At least it's got a time factor. At least it's talking about manipulation of time. But that pun—that's not a pun.
Yeah, that
because
was bad.
You can't replace accelerating. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I thought it was instead of exhilarating, right?
Yes.
Isn't it instead of exhilarating?
It's supposed to be
exhilarating.
Okay, maybe. I'll accept that. I still don't like it.
Yeah, no, it's a weird. It was a goofy.
Because
thing.
Why would he say exhilarating? It's still the
that's yeah, right.
It still has to fit.
Yeah, no.
You know,
I agree with you.
It was a kind of a.
It's just a way to be like, hey guys, you know, hey
Spock, wacky Spock, because he does have a lot of good one-liners. Spock often is the one who ends the episode with like a great line.
Yeah, why would Spock feel exhilarated? He wouldn't.
He's
He wouldn't accidentally make a pun because he wouldn't be exhilarated in the first place.
Right. I mean, he'd just be like, oh, that was interesting.
He's got his half human side.
I fixed the whole fucking ship for you. You're welcome.
I did it all fast.
I did it all super fast.
It's like, why did Lore? I mean, this is probably a lot of people don't agree with me, but a lot of people do agree with me about Worf and the prune juice being a warrior's drink. You know,
reiterate your philosophy.
Well, I think a lot of people agree with me, but a lot of people think it's no big deal.
We'll take that as a given.
We're
presuming that to be the case. So now what?
Well, there is no reason for Worf to think that prune juice is a warrior's drink. He doesn't know what it does. Now, I agree that, yes, clearing your bowels before battle is really important. But he didn't know that it did that. All he did was taste a drink. He's like, hey, this fucking tastes good.
Could you clarify your position?
So that's like me saying I drink some grape juice and I'm like, that's a warrior's drink. It's, you know, is it or not? I don't know. But the fact that it tastes good has nothing to do with the fact that it's a
warrior's drink. So you found that annoying that Worf said that?
I thought it was...
He didn't have a lot of exposure to prune juice.
He didn't. That was the first time he had it.
He was raised by Ukrainians.
Woo.
My
position.
They would have beet juice.
They would have beet juice.
Traditionally,
I don't know.
Or some sort of pickles.
I think they grew a lot of corn.
We can pickle that.
My position is that it was humorous, but it was forced and ultimately made no sense.
If I'm interpreting you correctly, the writer's voice was sticking out of a Star Trek episode, as opposed to being part of the Star Trek episode. When Worf says that, you're like, okay, now I'm listening to the writer. I'm not listening to Worf anymore. I'm listening to the writer who fell in love with this joke.
Yeah, I never thought of putting it that way, but that's a very good way of putting it.
That's what we're doing. We're having discussions.
It's got Star Trek.
It's got Star Trek,
baby.
So,
the Spock line was similar. The Spock line was, and there were a couple lines in this episode that were similar, where it was the writer wanted to say from the nowhere to the here. He wanted to say, he wrote that down 10 years beforehand. He's like, I'm fucking using this line as soon as I get the chance. And now's the chance, even though everyone.
This is some sci-fi shit.
He found a TV show because you know what? That writer had tried that on other shows before. And every time we tried it on another show before, one of the producers was like, yeah, cut that line. That doesn't
make
any
sense. Gene L. Coon.
But this episode was in season 3 of Star Trek, and nobody was paying attention and nobody cared.
Right.
So they did not edit the fucking script before they sent it to the cameras, which is why all the extras are trying not to laugh when the guy in the crazy silver suit and the evil haircut is all like, don't sleep with that sexy Canadian guy.
Right. I'm sorry, that suit is still, it still bothers me. Right now,
it hurts my eyes.
But the cut, just like how it covers the shoulders.
Yeah.
And then it has
like
a little bit of
funny
the neck.
Neck
and the, you know, I was just like, man.
There was a disconnect between the quality of the female characters' dresses of the Scalosians and the men. The men looked like nobody tried.
Yeah.
It looked like they were just like, oh shit, we forgot to make costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Get in here.
Right.
Duct tape some shit together.
The women's costumes were very sort of elaborate and well thought out. The main woman,
she was always messing. Did it seem like she was always messing with like that one sleeve that was poofy?
Yeah,
she had like like half.
Well, she had like it was her right side. Her leg was exploded.
One side was like nothing, and one side was all poofy. And then one sleeve was all poofy, and it seemed it would change up. It changed up throughout the episode that like she like had it like short and like long and poofy.
Okay, I never caught that. I just noticed it was always. Her leg was on the right side of her person. And her arm. That was, I was like, okay.
Both times I watched, I kept noticing when Sulu like was having trouble with the
He had a lot of makeup on his face.
He was like, he kept wiping his hand across his mouth.
Right.
Like, I don't know if that was supposed to be him being nervous.
I think it was him being nervous because he had coffee. It was a strange thing.
I guess there was an error.
The console wasn't responding correctly, and that was somehow the indication they gave him. They like, we want you to look like something, like you're concerned about something.
And it looked like he was just wiping spit off his face.
It was a little awkward.
Yeah, it was a little awkward. Yeah, and plus, you could see the makeup really caked up on his face.
Speaking of like makeup and effects, there was when they shot the phaser, when the three dudes were together.
Super Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were shooting, there was a scene where it was like, there's three guys and their hands were moving around. If you look at it, the shot is totally frozen, except their hands are moving all awkwardly, like, I wonder if in the that was a done up special effect, and if the original
the HD remasters.
If in the original words the whole shot just frozen and lasers were appearing, and then like in the remake they took the hands and made them move all with computers or something, because it looked really bizarre. If you look at the shot of them shooting all the lasers at the invisible wall or whatever, it's just their hands moving around in this weird, awkward way, but it's literally a frozen shot with just the hand moving in the lasers. I think in the original one, the hands were probably frozen too, and it was just lasers, and they tried to make it look like they were doing something. I don't know. It's a really kind of creepy effect that they did. I don't know, but yeah.
All right, so any final closing comments about the episode? Dan, do you have any riddles or games for us to do?
The wandering coffee officer was the coffee-cer.
I don't think she was referred to as
that's a one-liner.
That's a one-liner. Yeah, call me Benny. Benny Youngman.
Is a yeoman an officer?
Is that the guy's name? Is it Benny? Benny Youngman? Is that the name of the guy?
Yeah.
Benny Youngman.
Is it
Penny Youngman.
Yenny Bungman.
It's Henny Youngman.
Yes. Henny. That's right.
Yeah. There you go.
Take my wife, please. Or Rodney Dangerfield, probably.
Or Jack Benny.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's.
So I guess you don't have any riddles or gags or jokes.
Oh no riddles or gags or jokes. Sorry, not this time. I left you all hanging. There was not really much material to make any kind of riddles. Usually when I do stuff like that, it's just something. It's a series of things that pop out at me, and nothing like that really popped out at me. What popped out at me was the math to do the phaser speed and try to figure out how much. And to reiterate, if the phaser goes 112 miles per hour. It's a factor of 55. So 1 hour of regular time is 2.3 days of speedy time.
So you could outrun a phaser with a Jeep.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. But if it's going light speed, then that's a factor of 328 million about.
What about bike speed?
Which means 1 hour of regular time is 13 and a half million days. 1 hour is 13.5 million
Too many days,
days
man. That's million. Too many days.
A million days.
That seems like a long time.
13.5 million.
So think about it somewhere between light speed and one of the 12 miles per
hour. You remind me of one of the problems is so.
Can they shoot phasers at going warp speed? How do they go slow?
If you're at the upper limit of your estimate there, presuming phasers shoot at light speed, which is a perfectly rational assumption to make.
Yeah, so they would shoot in the warp speed.
Here's another problem. They're talking about catching people from neighboring ships, but because of the time frame you've described, so much time would have passed. Like, how many ships can they get? Right. How are the ships evolving? How many people are populating that part of the galaxy? And I know it's, you know, different species arise at different times, but still, it's a little kind of like, especially since he knows a lot about the Federation. I don't know. It's just, I think if that information on the outside is slow, how are they compressing it? Anyway, it's let's not even discuss it anymore because it's fucking confusing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so if that'll do it then, I guess, wrap us up for that particular episode. Wink of an eye, not to be confused with blink of an eye.
What happens next week?
Next week, we're going to do Phantasms. Jesse's been clamoring for a Phantasmarin.
That's one of the greatest.
And that's a season six, our season seven.
Season seven.
Star Trek The Next Generation, Season 7, Episode 6, and that's the one where data gets a little bit weird.
Cellular.
That reminds
cellular
me, peptide. This right? weekend, I've exported all the data I need to export into my database.
Data.
So now...
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So now I'm next, I gotta work...
Segue.
So this weekend...
This weekend. What about this
what
weekend?
What I was trying to do was say, like, what I'm going to do this weekend, but it came out this weekend.
He's got an algorithm.
You guys, no, so this
weekend. What are you
weekend,
doing this weekend, man?
Get the papers.
I've got the all the data extracted into databases. Now I just need to make the algorithms
this
to
is the
calculate.
Data from the scripts?
Database.
Yeah. Now I just need to run the algorithms to calculate what kind of episode. Well, and we don't have to follow it, obviously. It's just a fun thing to do.
So to clarify and correct me where I'm wrong, Dan. So Dan is working on an algorithm where he has gathered together all the Star Trek scripts.
And he's funneled them into a database
and parsed them out. And then he's
awesome.
Developing an algorithm
to
consume portions of our podcast and then to convert those into data.
To generate the next episode.
To then compare in some fashion to Star Trek scripts, which he's being cagey about. To somehow result in giving a suggestion that will then tell us what episode we should discuss next week.
Yeah.
Outside of the live airings of shows, because Lower Decks, I think we announced it last week, but Lower Decks is coming, is announced to start in August 6th. So we'll be covering that in some fashion or another. There's episodes of Lower Decks, and they're half-hour animated episodes, is my understanding. I could be wrong, but... So we'll figure out a way to discuss that.
Also, I can most likely as a version
Mos Eisley?
As a version Mos yes Eisley. Mos Eisley as a version 2.0, I can take portions that same portion of our
it's
episode
a hive of scum and villainy
and tell us what kind of character our bit most reminded the world of.
That's a good idea. We'll make a lot of money on the internet.
It would be what character likes that portion of. Episode the most. That's what it would be. So it would be
of
like
the Star Trek episode or the podcast.
Yeah, fuck. Which episode is it?
Which character?
So if all the Star Trek
just
characters.
Just because you are a character doesn't mean you have a character.
A podcast character
So if all the Star Trek characters.
I'm assuming both.
If all the Star Trek characters were listening to our podcast episode, I can determine which one of them would have dug it the most.
Okay, I'm looking forward to examining the criteria
you dig it the most.
That will be embedded within this algorithm to
too complicated
come to those determinations.
I watched you
too
watch
complicated.
It.
I love that you're effectively going to produce something. So here's the thing, what you got to know about Dan. What Dan has just described, he could easily just have a random number generator, pick a random Star Trek character, and make these determinations just purely randomly with no data feeding into it.
Could have rolled some dice.
That's the end result. It's a black box as far as people would be concerned. That could have been what happened. But Dan is going to go through the work and effort to actually make it so it's making some calculations on data.
It's got to be repeatable. And the thing is I can make it repeatable simply by calculating the hash value of the file that we feed into it. But I'm not going to do that because that's totally cheating. That's irrelevant. There's no correlative sort of value in that. So.
He's not going to cheat. He's going to do this for real.
Dan doesn't cheat.
Dan is the man.
Dan is going to go the long road.
Dan is not
the long
New
road,
England
the
Patriots
honorable
man.
Road.
He's got a Dan-gorithm.
Yeah. Dan-gorithm. And who knows? Maybe we can put ads on it and
sell
do that.
That shit.
So, okay. Next week, we will TNG's Phantasms, which is going to be fun. Down the road a little bit, we'll do Lower Decks, so look forward to that. I also think it'd be fun. We might do some stuff, our friend in England, Gibberkit.
Gibberkit.
He had suggested that we should do something related to the Star Trek video games, particularly the old ones, like from the 90s and shit.
The
games?
Ones that make little sense.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking what we should do is we will have to do those online on YouTube. We can play the games because on podcasts, I was trying to think about it. It's just a little difficult. We could talk about the games, but there's value to that. But other people are going to be better equipped to do that.
Your NES, I think it's the TNG. Oh, that one is crazy.
None of them make any sense.
They didn't make no sense when you're flying on the ship, and then you have to, you beam down to a planet, and I don't know, man.
Is it like silent service?
It's fucking wacky.
Oh, silent service. Yeah, it's kind of like that navigational nonsense. You're like, there's a radar and some open space. Yeah.
It's you're just kind of playing it in like it's a zen kind of way.
Yeah, right. Yep. Occasionally you'll see something, but nothing might happen.
There were some there were some PC games in the early 90s that were not half bad. They had some pretty good stories because they were more text-based. They had graphics, but it was more just like you kind of click around.
RPGs.
They were like, they were influenced by RPGs, and they weren't quite point-and-click, but they were sort of a blending of those. But anyway, that's something we'll get together and totally put on YouTube in the future. But otherwise, look forward to Phantasms next week. We hope you enjoyed this episode this
cellular week. Cellular peptide.
All we need to do now is give you the contact information. And Dan's pretty good at that. So Dan, how would you recommend
that
our listeners, the hordes of listeners,
feedback,
what are ways they could get in contact with us if they were so inclined? And note that we do encourage that. We would like to hear your feedback on this episode.
Sounds like Jesse knows.
Okay, Jesse.
I've heard of this feedback.
All right.
But that's all I know.
All right. God damn it, Jesse. You had my hopes up.
It was your question. The question was yours.
You kept saying feedback as if you were like, Dan, I know the answer. Let me field this one.
I fooled you.
I was trying to set you for the spike, man.
I fooled you.
0.5 points.
Feedback
for that.
Back
Oh my god. feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
There you go. That's the email. That's awesome. Where can they find
us? Get your t-shirts.
On social media. How about
gotta get those t-shirts.
Let's do this, Dan. Hold off a second. Jimmy. Jimmy, where could they find us on social media?
On Twitter and Instagram.
But what's the address?
At It's Got Star Trek.
That's right. That's right. Yep. He got it.
It's Got Star Trek.
I think it was partially a guess, even though he does follow those
Doesn't matter. It's the right answer.
It's the right answer. At It's Got Star Trek, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Sorry, I don't go on that one, so I don't know.
Don't worry about Facebook. But Facebook's a good one. We post which episode we're going to do ahead of time and Twitter, Instagram, but especially Facebook. It's great if you can leave some comments on the episode that we're going to do next week, Phantasms, and then we'll incorporate them into the conversation because we love to hear from you folks when you have interesting things to say, even when you don't. We like that too. But otherwise, with that, that'll be...
Usually do.
A goodbye from me, Patrick, guest Jimmy here.
My name is Dan.
Ciao.
And Dan already said goodbye.
Dan is awesome. Dan is awesome with his logarithms.
My logarithms. I'm going to go home and make some logarithms.
Dan and his logarithms.
I'm going to eat some Taco Bell and make some logarithms.
Yeah, and he's looking forward to
Captain's
it.
Log.
I'm going to take a shit in the toilet.
Captain's log.
Rhythmic logging.
Logarithm captain.
All right, we will
some Kenny logarithms.
We will hear from you. You will hear from
it's
us.
All right.
Sometime next week, presumably
t-shirts.
Saturday.
Get all right.
Have a good one.
Bye.
May I freshen up? All this rushing about has left me windblown. I'm glad to see that you allow yourself some comforts. Are you married, Captain? No family. No attachments. I know. You're married to your career, and you never look at another woman.
Well, if she's pretty enough, I'll look.
I wondered when you'd say something nice to me. Am I more presentable now?
A bit.